I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Start recording this bastard.
Okay.
Have we got it, Jack? Okay, everyone. We're just easing ourselves into the warm bath that is
using
this podcast.
The lubrication of.
Very exciting. What's the word? Spontaneous kind of situation here. Are we good? Hannah was at a gig last night in the Purdy Kitchens, and she was at my gig and she criticized my gig. What did you say, Hannah? Let John Colleary and James Girlsbury know the pressure that I'm subjected to on a daily basis.
I learned my lesson.
And point and speak into the fucking microphone. Sorry.
Okay, I learned.
Can I just say the microphone?
Fucking leave me alone.
Okay.
Fuck off.
Okay, but say it.
Fuck off.
Stop trying to show off in front of your friends.
I am showing off in front of my friends.
This is showing off. They already know you. You showed off the most. That you can't show off anymore.
Okay, go on. Anyway,
So I learned my lesson that I never give you negative comments right after you get off stage. But with time, I'm bringing a constructive criticism.
Oh, Christ. Anyway, she was saying, I heard all that old shit.
No, I said you did a lot of old jokes, but you mix them up with the new material, which they mingle really well.
It's like going home with the worst member of the crowd. You know, it's like you know the heckler. You're like the worst heckler, and I have to, you know. But anyway, you're right. But it's hard to come up with new material.
Well,
John.
Yeah. But Deja O'Kane said that she buries her old material and sits down and write new material minute by minute, and she never goes back.
Anyway, can we acknowledge this very exciting day? We're here with John Colleary and James Goldsberry, original members of the Savage Eye team. Jack, do you want to just give us an introduction, Jack? I'm so angry because it's been taking ages to set up. And Hannah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
can't hear you.
Please,
wait.
Huh? How could you not hear me?
Because I can't hear you.
Okay, there you go. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I don't want to bore people, right? But everything I said, it takes me an hour to set this up. So by the time I sit down, I'm having a nervous breakdown, and then Hannah, she rings me up today, and she just goes, thumbnails as regards
Listen,
to the podcast and making it more
last,
popular.
Last
Nobody
episode,
knows what you're talking about when you're screaming about thumbnails.
Hannah, so you could read the comments.
You're like
everybody
a woman. You're like a Polish woman in Brooklyn in 1962 on the corner of a street going, thumbnails. You sound like a mad woman.
Okay, do you want me to read your comments?
Yeah.
And people agreeing with me? Funny enough.
And that's why we're not together.
And listen, that's true. And you know, you had one of the most famous comedian, Reggie Watts.
Well.
And you had the least amount of views. Why is that, David? Did you ever think about it?
Okay.
Make me
The boys.
Okay, Jack, give us an introduction, please. Stop, you know.
Okay.
Come on, Jack.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to... And That's Why We're Not Together, starring David McSavage, Hannah Andrews, and with two very special guests, Mr. James Goldfree and Mr. John Colleary.
Go on, Goldfree. Go on, Colleary. Well, this is very exciting for me because I haven't seen James Goldfree in a long time. And
we were talking about it. It was John's dad's funeral.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Thanks for bringing down the vibe.
I said not to say that.
Can you speak into the microphone, please?
I can, yeah.
Can you point it towards your Gulliver?
Certainly.
Oh, why don't you say speak up the fucking microphone
what?
As you do it to me? All of a sudden, yeah, but you're polite.
Hannah, that is D4. How I express affection, as you well know. It's a cultural thing, and if you don't enjoy it, it means you're a racist. Now, that's a bit of material there. That's right.
Very
John,
old.
Can I just talk? I don't
Very
want to bring
old.
Down... I don't want to bring down the vibe and atmosphere, Johnny, but I have to say, your dad's funeral and the priest. Do you
oh, yeah.
That? Jesus Christ.
Oh,
do,
yeah.
Do you remember that story? Do you remember
I
that?
Do.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
About the light bulb?
He's
no, John.
He's my dad's cousin as well.
Okay.
And
oh, well, that's nice to know.
He's a very deliberate talker and thinker.
Well, okay, so can I just say,
you know,
how long ago was this?
It was September of 2018.
Oh, yeah, and also John has this insane facility for dates.
I know.
Yeah. What is the tricksy thing you have?
Yeah, like...
It's wordplay. The other thing is the wordplay.
The wordplay and the other semi-spectrum
so,
thing.
So you can you know by my birthday
I know
what day I was born?
Not no. necessarily. It's something that... It's more to do with my memory span, as in the 80s. 70s and 80s, I can remember. But before that,
Remember what?
I can remember. So if you throw a random date from the 80s at me, I'll figure out what day of the week it was. I know, yeah, yeah.
Like, what do you mean a random date? Okay,
I know Jack's birthday is the 1st of August.
It's and amazing, I know that.
That's good.
Dinah's
that's
birthday is the 13th of October.
That's bonkers. Excellent. It's absolute. He's got, it's like, he's got like an,
David
a solid...
Doesn't know. You know what I mean?
What?
David
he doesn't
know
that.
He's like got a solid state. What day was Live Aid in 1985?
Well, that's an easy
that
one. That's
Saturday
the 13th of
how would you fucking know?
It was a Saturday.
Everyone knows.
And why are you not wearing your headphones, James?
Well, what do I need them for?
Oh, no, sorry. No, I'm just saying you don't have to wear them. Sorry, James.
Oh, yeah.
James, you don't have to if you don't want it.
No, no.
But you look professional with them on.
Sorry,
you look
James.
Like we're in a studio.
You're just there.
Professional.
No, it's just so you can hear.
Because you can't hear the...
The boys and the sound effects. But it doesn't matter. Well, okay, so just in case anybody doesn't know, James Goldfree, John Colleary, we started in Dublin around the same time-ish.
Mm. You were before me.
Oh, yeah, you
James
were before
was before
us.
Me as well.
And we did various pilots, TV pilots.
Yeah.
Oh, we did Head Records.
Head Records for the... Channel
the
4.
I'd love to tell one story about that.
Sure.
We've got so much to talk about, but there was one story. You remember we were shooting up in Belfast? I can't even say this.
Why can't you say that?
Because we were doing some sketch or something, and there was a dirty old mattress. And then I said, look, that's a Bosnian.
Yeah.
And the crew just said, we can't work with
can't
this.
Can't work with you, David. Yeah.
Was
oh,
that,
God.
Where was that?
We actually have to cut that out. But there was a producer. Oh, it was through your connection.
Yeah,
in fact, Paddy Keelty's production company, Green Ink.
Yeah, Green Ink. Hey.
And there was a producer,
Keith. The little guy, Keith.
Well, can we talk about him?
Listen,
don't
mention his name.
Just wait. Just the Bosnian thing mattress. Just,
no,
just
that's gone.
No, just censor it. Don't just leave it in. Just censor it. You know?
Oh yeah.
He's a good guy.
But maybe just don't mention the name. Just
okay. So there was a producer in this Green Ink. And he really desperately wanted to be funny, but he was. It was so frustrating working with this guy that he was the opposite of what I think a producer should do. I actually looked up on Wikipedia the definition of a producer, and he was doing the opposite.
Yeah.
So he was a con juicer.
Con juicer.
Oh.
But he was, you know, what would he say? He'd say things like, you know, oh no, he had one idea for a sketch. Which was a balls fairy.
The balls fairy, yeah.
And he thought he was going to create this show that was going to be like Little Britain, and there was going to be big placards, you know, in cities everywhere. With so the Balls Ferry idea was a guy is very timid, and something happens and he doesn't stand up for himself. Then the Balls Ferry arrives,
that's right,
and he just anoints you, and suddenly grow a pair of balls, and then we replay the scene, and he does what he should have done.
All right,
it's really, it's like absolutely box office. And this guy was fucking desperate to shoehorn this idea anywhere he could, and he wouldn't let it go. Dave, you know, I don't know why we can't work together, because you're shit. And that was called Head Wreckers.
Yeah, that's a good name.
Well.
And I remember
that was before The Savage Eye.
That was when, and that got made, and then
that got made by Channel 4.
Channel 4, and then RTE were kind of going, "Hey, say on English."
Yeah, that's
television,
right.
Well, do you want to do something with us, like?
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, there was a competition was put out, and four production companies put in different pilots.
Comedy Labs.
Oh yeah,
it was called Funny Ha Ha.
Oh, that's right, the RTE one.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that one.
Oh, yeah, Project Haha, yeah. Anyway, sorry, I'm jumping around because it's very exciting.
I remember about that week. We spent a week in Belfast making that series, show. Head Wreckers thing.
Fruit.
And I remember you in the Gestapo uniform, the black one.
Was Goldsberry in this one?
Yeah. And we were up in Belfast and we were in some kind of place in East Belfast, which was kind of a and somebody had burnt a down.
The entire road.
Wait a second. Oh yeah, so we were shooting in Belfast.
Yeah,
and the sketch was, what was the sketch about?
It was you saying I like.
Oh
the
yeah,
Jews.
The premise of the sketch show Head Wreckers was that we're all sitting around a table like this in a writer's room, and then we're trying to come up with ideas, and then it cuts to the sketches. And some of them were working and some of them weren't.
Mm.
And then the premise was that you came up with this idea, which was...
The Nazis. Or Benny Hill.
Yeah. You said, I think Nazis or something. We're chasing a kid around.
Yeah.
And then we're going to say, how are we going to make that funny?
Kid.
Yeah.
And it was actually... Yeah. And then you say, Benny Hill music. Yeah. You know what I mean? God forgive us. And then it cuts to us in Belfast, dressed as Nazis, running around the street. Yeah. And you said it was in East Belfast.
We were shooting on a particular day in this kind of a... what looked like a disused lock-up, but it was open air. And it was like big gates, kind of rough ground. And somebody had actually burnt a house down. A few nights previous, and there was smoke coming out of it, which really helped with the scene, if you know what I mean. Because Jack was running through the smoke, I remember that. But I remember we were all in between shooting it, and you were standing at a car with your full-on Gestapo thing on, and they were all around you going, David, do you want to go back to the studio now? David, do you want to have a cup of coffee here, or do you want to go back to the studio? Do you want to go back to the unit base? And you said, hey, can everyone stop doing the stupid accent? it was funny for a while, but it's really annoying me now. And they all went,
Jesus.
I think over the period of that week, Dave, you were like a whistling kettle, slowly building up it.
Yeah. No, I took it.
Those productions will do that to you, though.
Anyway, that's right. It's funny, yeah. I remember
Was there a moment that you lost, like, properly lost your rag there?
There was a few moments. I can't remember. Well, no, there was one time I did a pilot before this, which was called Oh No, It's Max Savage. And we were trying to get permission to film in some little park. And the parking attendant, I literally, you know, as Werner Herzog described Timothy Treadwell, I was incandescent with rage, you know. you know, that's just, you know, being young and so on. But I think James Goldsberry, he'd look at me and go, what's wrong with you?
Why do I have to do this?
But James had amazing good ideas and came up with this really good sketch, which was the Roy Keane sketch.
Oh, yeah.
So the Roy Keane sketch was James, was it James and Eleanor?
Well, I have to give Eleanor credit there as well.
So that sketch was a, what's the word? Not pastiche. It was a tribute to...
Yeah.
The Amy Winehouse.
No, it was a tribute.
Homage.
It became.
Oh, yeah, no, it was an homage to.
Hold on.
Roy Keane Or Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
Joe Pesci and Ray Liotta.
And the scene where...
What's so funny about me?
What's so funny about me? Yeah. And it tied into Roy Keane's personality because he was so trigger happy. He was so ultra sensitive. Like, you know, he was like... Mm. So the... What was it? The Amy Winehouse?
It became Amy Winehouse for Head Wreckers. You were Amy Winehouse.
You just... You had a full
and
on...
You think I'm funny, Sammy? What's the fact? Like, fuck off.
Yeah, it didn't really, work, did it?
No. But you did Amy Winehouse for some Savage Eye, didn't you?
I don't know.
Or Savage
But anyway, so the sketch was where Roy Keane is, they're in the locker room.
He's Pesci.
And somebody says, that's so funny, Roy. What's so funny about me? What, funny what's like I'm a clown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From your show.
So that was a very
Mick
funny
McCarthy,
sketch.
You kind of have to give the whole Saipan background, don't you, to give the context. And
that's right. It was Mick McCarthy. Is my microphone high enough?
Yeah, yeah.
We did it again then with Mick in Savage Eye. We did it in a dressing room with Liam Hurricane and myself, and you were...
Mick McCarthy.
Yeah, and he was Roy. Liam was Roy.
Yeah.
And we were all like... Rooney was in it as well, I think. Deck.
I also just want to give a little bit of background here to John Cleary. One of the kindest men in showbiz.
Will you stop?
Will you get out of that?
Get out of that.
So God knows, the first pilot I did was called Oh No, It's McSavage. And that got rejected. And I was sure that was going to get, you know the way you before something gets a green light, you start dreaming, okay, this is going to be taken to series. And then I'm going to get another series. And I'm going to sell multiple nights out in Vicar Street. And I'm going to... And it was a very unrealized, embryonic pilot. Anyway, it got rejected. And I was really depressed. I don't know if you remember back then. That was 2005 or something.
I think, yeah.
And I just sort of lay in bed for about 3 fucking months. And I was so depressed. And I was trying to cheer myself up by reading horrible books, about history to try and... Well, at least I'm not suffering, you know. But in fact, it just had the effect of making me even more depressed. But then Cleary... I think one day called by and said, come on, we'll just make something else. So anyway, whatever he said, it rang a bell inside my noggin and the penny dropped. And then we put...
That little...
We put... Oh, no. And then I think your contact with Green Ink, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was that became...
Oh, no.
That...
We made something and then you were shopping it around.
No, Bernard O'Shea told me that a guy...
Ex-friend.
I
fell out with
Bernard. Persona non grata.
He said that guy from Green Ink was coming down to the International, and I had the DVD that we had made.
Who's that guy? Oh,
that producer,
Keith.
From
we can't say his name. Yeah. Okay.
I gave him the DVD, and you were never happy about it. He goes, "Why'd you give him the DVD?" and then he's, "This is really good, hey.
We like
you
it.
Can really like it. You
get. Do you want to have a meeting?
Yeah.
Next thing we're having chicken wings.
100 grand off Channel 4, and then we're.
Did we get 100 grand off Channel
4? Yeah, it was 100 grand.
What we did? Did we get anything?
Who gave
that
the money?
That was the budget. Yeah,
we got something.
100,000 sterling.
Jesus,
for half an hour.
So yeah, but I mean, we it was all put into the
production.
Into the production. So that was in a thing called with the Channel 4 Comedy Lab.
Yeah.
And there was a famous actor now. Was a little kid back then. What was his name?
Will
Poulsen.
Will Poulsen. Yeah. He's in the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird looking microwave head in him.
Rooney hated him.
Did he?
Can't stand the gun. He was in loads of fucking stuff. And
was Rooney in the was Rooney in Head Wreckers?
Yeah.
He was. Yeah.
He was great.
He Rooney. Is great. Yeah, yeah.
He did the Pikey Michael Pikey Jackson.
And we were fighting.
We can't say Pikey, can we?
Of course you can't. Well, that's the character.
The character was called Pikey Jackson, and he was a.
Yeah,
I remember that scene. I remember the directors were saying he was doing it too well, and he had to. He was really good at the Michael Jackson.
Yeah, he was brilliant,
and he had to tone it down.
That's right.
You're
Michael Jackson.
Declan Rooney, he's like this unsung comedy hero, but like he doesn't need a stage or an audience. He's just happy to perform in front of whoever is around.
Do you remember what he did during COVID? Here, he came over to the house here. Me and David were here, and obviously it was during COVID, so everyone's starved of any social interaction. He comes over with a few cans of Stella, and we're having a chat in the front room. Then I go to the toilet, and I go and I'm taking a piss at the toilet. And I look at the shelf and there's no toiletries left. And I'm thinking, Do we not have any toiletries, David? Like, there's no shampoo, there's no toothbrush, there's no toilet paper, there's no toothpaste or anything. And David comes in and is like, I can't remember. We're trying to remember if we have any toiletries or not. And then we eventually find a bag full of toiletries in the corner of the bathroom. He just went in there and hit it, like... for no reason. He just left, like, he was gone.
He was probably stealing them and forgot to bring them.
Forgot to steal
them. Forgot to take them with me.
But yeah, Rooney, he'd say something and then he'd do the dramatic
exit.
That's
right. Yeah. That's right.
So then we did that Head Records. And then we were on RTE's radar again. And then there was four other pilots. And then ours got picked up, which was fucking great.
Well, that was great. All the best.
That was it. But remember how... I remember when the comedy lab...
Oh, why do the Irish drink so much?
That was the first one.
And sorry, John, what were you saying?
I was just thinking about the time that Green Ink came and said, we really like it. It's really fantastic. We had a meeting. Next thing, we're going to make it.
Hmm.
And remember you shitting yourself. Ringing me up, Jesus Christ, they're going to make it. What the fuck? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, the fear of it.
The idea of it anyway. The idea it was quite something, wasn't it? Like to have, you know, professional people around, lights, cameras. But we certainly didn't work well. Well, I didn't work well with this dude. God love him. Mm. He didn't really. No. I mean, he was well intentioned, but as we say, the road to hell is paved.
Was he on the Savage Eye or just
No.
I was walking back from when we were filming up there, and I was walking up the road towards the hotel, and I saw you talking with him, and I just thought, I'm not going to get involved in this conversation. Just walk past you, and I could just hear you saying, "Yeah, but you can't produce, you know, you can't." And I just kept fucking going. Right, I don't want to be part of this.
I was terrible. Yeah, I remember, and then me and him, we were getting on so badly. We had to talk to the head guy, Stephen Stewart.
Hi, Stephen.
And and he was just sitting there, guys, you know, we're just going to have to figure out how to work together. And I'm just looking, I can't.
Because he's a really nice guy. I met him, you know, to you.
Which guy?
From Green Ink, Stephen.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, fair fox to Green Ink. They gave us an opportunity.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, God. And then every 10 seconds, you know, Shane Allen, opinion makers. Shane Allen.
He's head of comedy now on BBC.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Left Channel 4 after we rode him.
Wrecked it.
So, yeah, anyway.
So what happened with Head Records then? It didn't get picked up or it just did the pilot?
It was just a pilot and that was it.
It was just a pilot. And there was one or two good bits.
But it's a learning curve, isn't it? It was a lot of funny stuff over there and just interact with all the... professional cameraman, writer, you know, you had a platform to
be an
express yourself, you know.
Yeah.
The foundation for Savage Eye.
Yes. Jack, you were talking about shitting in other people's houses earlier on. What's that about?
Yeah, well, some people don't shit in other people's houses, but I kind of have a feeling like, you know, it's a natural process of the human body. And, you know, what's it there for? You know, some people... I think it's very rude to leave a steaming pile of hot shit in someone's...
Well, you wouldn't leave it.
No. I understand that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you leave it in the what's the thing where you pull up the cinder block on the toilet.
The cistern.
Yeah, that's a good one. Shit in someone's cistern.
Oh, yeah.
You should. I'm surprised you didn't got me cistern and me brother. What are you thinking of?
I'm in recovery for that. Some people have to shit in other people's houses though. I know people who come to the house and they just go immediately go, I need the toilet.
It's just because they don't have their own toilet in
maybe
their
not.
Own house.
Maybe not.
Or maybe it's dirty.
Just a thing though. It's just a thing with some people. They're straight into the jacks when they come to the house.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes I see a really nice toilet and I don't need to go to the toilet, but I wish I...
No, I think it's a rare enough thing. You shouldn't really shit in some of the...
I don't understand though. What's the big deal?
I know some people who wouldn't go to toilet in other people's houses.
Sorry, can I just...
it's a good topic.
Can I ask you, James, when did you start doing stand-up?
About September, August, September 1998.
Wow.
Where was your first
gig in the Inter? Paddy Courtney was the first person to pay me a fiver. Wow. Which I thought, this is great. Someone just gave me 5 euros.
Paddy Courtney, he does VOs now, doesn't he?
That's all he does, yeah. So he's, Inter, 98. And then...
And who was running the Inter back then?
Brendan Dempsey, maybe.
Yeah.
Courtney.
Who else was knocking around then?
Maybe...
Ian Coppinger.
Well, he's... Always...
Ian Coppinger doesn't age. Have you noticed that?
He's very compact.
Oh, yeah. That's what it is.
Compact and
Bijou. Very compact. Dempsey and...
Who the fuck else? I can't
Courtney
remember.
And his partner, what's her name again?
Oh, Fiona.
Fiona.
Yeah.
They ran it between them, I thought.
Yeah.
Or something like
when
that.
When did Dez take over?
No, that was the Wednesday cellar, night. Actually. So Dez started the Thursday night.
Yeah.
And then that became Friday, Saturday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And it was Thursday, Saturday for a little while. And then they threw the Friday into it.
They forgot. Just remember there was a day between Thursday and Friday.
But that really took off really quickly with him.
Who, with Dez?
Yeah.
Well, no, I think it when he did his work experience, that's when it took off.
Yeah, and was people queuing out the
down
the street to see Dez.
Yeah, yeah.
Yo.
Yeah. Yo, man. He was great. He just didn't take shit from the audience. He fucked some girl's bag down the stairs and went, get the fuck out! And he was lost with her. Like... That'd be filmed. If that happened now, it'd be filmed and you'd be fucked.
To be cancelled.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean.
Comedy.
Yeah, thank God. That's right. Most of life it should be acoustic, but now it's been electrified. You know,
everything.
That's a really good point. A lot of things should stay local. You should be allowed to... Well, I'm not... Obviously, certain things you shouldn't be allowed to, but certain things... It's okay to fuck up occasionally. I mean,
everything is public now.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Which is potentially... Very dangerous. I don't know what the fuck, lads. So, excuse me. No, I've got a lot to talk about, but I don't even know what to talk about.
Have I thrown
a spanner in the works?
No, you haven't. No, you haven't thrown.
David is never prepared. So,
what's the opposite of a spanner in the works?
I don't know.
No spanners in no works.
And did you take a long break from doing stand-up?
Well, COVID didn't fucking help, that's for sure.
And do you play in the UK?
I haven't played in the UK in ages. Well, I was doing well over there. I was doing the Glees and Jonglers and Up the Creek and all that jazz.
Have you played in those places, the Up the Creek and the Jonglers?
I've done the Jonglers thing.
Well, I suppose the Laughter Lounge is the closest thing that we have to Jonglers.
I've done the Top Secret thing on your recommendation.
Oh, yeah.
That was good.
I think I used to play the Laughter Lounge, and then I can't remember for what reason, but then they banned me 15 years ago or 20 years ago.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah. But you know, there's something about the Laughter Lounge that didn't gel with me.
Yeah. It's a different thing. It's sometimes not always clubby like the International would be or...
You mean that a lot of people aren't necessarily
just
going
out.
There to...
People are out.
Yeah, they're not necessarily going there to see comedy.
Work dues, stag dues, hen
what,
dues.
What makes a good comedy club when you go in to perform?
People who've specifically gone to see comedy.
Yeah.
What? It's like you were on fire there.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if you get groups of people are the worst to play to, I think, you know.
Yeah, because they have a... Yeah, I was going to come up with some half-assed theory, but now I can't.
Did we do that gig? Was it for Brian Cowan's brother? Was that our gig?
No, that was I know what you're talking about now. You're talking about a gig in Tullamore in about 2015, maybe. And we were there around Christmas time, and it was you.
Were you there?
Yeah, you, me, Pat, and Mac McMorrow, Dermot.
And all I just remember at the end of it, we were hiding in the green room and some secretary said, he's ruined our Christmas.
You were hiding.
I was hiding.
In a room.
Yeah.
And you had said various things and you had a proper go at it.
At Brian Cowan being a big blubbery alcoholic
mess.
Because
his family, not his brother, but some of the family were at a table to the side.
Yeah.
And there was punters on the dance floor in the middle. And... somebody in the Cowan table got really annoyed and you were going, fuck off. You fuck. Didn't give them the full two barrels.
Mm.
And someone and that part of the room said, "We want our money back."
Yeah.
And some lad at the front went, "We want our country back."
Oh, brilliant.
And it went,
oh, brilliant. Oh, fantastic.
And then there was other lads at the back putting their hands in their pockets and looking at their biceps going, "Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen here." We're like,
great.
And then afterwards, some woman came in to her. The truth, I mean, the same thing exists. There's a side room, like where tables are stored, and they have a table out in the middle of it, and staff are coming and going. There's an ice machine, and we were sitting around this roundy table, and you went, "Oh fuck, oh fuck," and you came off stage and you went into another room, and then this woman came in all distraught. "You can't say that," that sort of stuff. And McMorrow's gone, "Are you?" She's up to me going, "You're Dave McSavage." And I was going, I'm not. "You can't say that. This is Tullamore." And she was like, she was going, "I'm 60. I'm an old woman." And McMorrow had just turned 60. Yeah. McMorrow just turned 60 and he went, "That's not old." And then she just went, "You've ruined Christmas."
But listen,
I thought that was the best thing to ever say.
And then, you ruined our country.
But it was quite extravagant. So Cowan's family employed four of you to go over
there. They didn't. It was a tour show. I think Donald might have booked that one. It was just a kind of a tour show, Christmas Savage Eye Live, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, God.
And
how come they were...
They just came. They just came to the show and they had tables at the side.
There was
maybe two tables and maybe his brothers, and they have, some of them are solicitors in.
Yeah, I've said this before. Like, any of those corporate events, the staff are going, it's an extension of the work. They don't necessarily want to be there. And so they're not there. They're kind of looking at you like this. And in other words, any entertainment is part of the problem. They'd rather not be there. So it's a fairly hostile audience.
Yeah.
So you need a very special set of skills to pull those kind of gigs off, i.e. Barry Murphy doing Gunter.
Just been able to do something that's...
Well, you refer to them as well. When you talk about them, rather than your... You don't want to listen to your shite material.
No, that's right. So you have to get local knowledge and tailor your gig to them.
I did a gig for... Stackstown Golf Club. Tony Ferns got it from me. It was full of coppers.
Tony Ferns.
Well, can we just tell people, because it's kind of important. Yeah. Just for I want to hear this story. Sorry, who's Tony Ferns? Does anybody want to tell people who Tony Ferns is?
Well, Tony Ferns is one of the gentlemen of Irish comedy. He ran the Halfpenny Inn.
The Battle of the Axe.
Battle of the Axe
Tuesday
night. How long?
20 something years.
As much as anyone, he's responsible for nurturing and giving people a platform. Because literally anybody could get a gig in that place.
Yeah, anyone now was gigging for Tony. It was great. He ran it well.
Yeah.
Out in the street from 5 o'clock with his placard. Come in. Voice.
Yeah. Great voice.
Yeah, and you won a rubber duck if you were the best of the year.
Yeah, lovely.
You won it as well, David, I remember.
We all won it.
Yeah,
we all won it. Duck.
Yeah.
And a cert.
And a cert, yes.
Ah, yeah.
And a photograph.
It's lovely. Go on. Sorry, you were saying.
Yeah, Stackstown Golf Club, Tony Ferns got it from me and I had a signed contract. And I went on and they just fucking hated me. They just didn't want to know, you know.
Tell Dave what the guy said before you went on.
Oh, he says, don't...
before he introduced you, he was talking about...
Oh, yeah.
It's a copper's golf club, isn't it?
So, what do you mean? You mean it was all a
Garda?
Stackstown Golf Club is full of cops.
And why is it full of Gardaí?
It's just where they all go.
Oh, right. Where's Stackstown?
Up Rathfarnham.
Oh, right,
the hills.
Okay.
And the greens were all famously dug up by the general.
Yeah.
He went, drove up there, dug up all their greens just to piss them off.
Jesus, yeah.
And the guy, he's bringing me on. He says, just before we bring on the comedy, let's have a few moments silence for members of the club who passed away during the year. And then there's a few moments silence and he goes, and no comedy.
No, he didn't. That's not true.
That is true.
That's not true.
It is, yeah.
No way. That's not, that can't actually.
Bit of
actually,
a paraphrase, but.
But how would he even.
The comedy silence of James Goldsberry. What's your name again? Goldsberry. And he brought me on, and it was shit. Absolutely shite.
Were they talking, or were they.
No, they just didn't mind. It was all folded arms. just had their dinner, you know. And there was one guy, he was saying, yeah, I was cursing. And I'd been told not to curse before I went on. And he was an elf, maybe 75 or something. He was going, you can't come up here. You can't be cursing coming up here like that. And I was trying to placate him. I said, you know, just chill, relax. I said, did you have a good game of golf today?
Yeah, I had a great game of golf today.
And I said, what did you go around in? And I just kind of thought about what the answer I could give him. And I decided to answer the question for him. I said, so what did you go around in? A wheelchair? And it was just fucking...
For fuck's sake.
And the guy who booked me...
He's almost like so... Garda is so built into his DNA that he's...
I was standing there. And so Sven Hanna is me, and he came on. Guy says, and well, we've all had enough of that. Took the microphone out of my hand, and then he was the guy who booked me. He was outside the gig, and crying. He was leaning against the radiator, going, "I told you not to curse. I told you not to curse."
That's
great. He had to pay me anyway.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm glad they fucking paid
you. Did you get a good pay?
No,
it was 800 quid or something.
That's pretty good.
It used to be great. Yeah. With Dave. Dave was the counsellor for me anyway. Maybe many others too.
Yes.
Post the most horrible death at corporate events. Just ring him.
Oh, right.
Ring Dave.
Yeah.
He what's wrong, Dave? I did this gig out in Drew's Glen. Yeah. What happened? I just did, and then your man told me to, and then this woman cried, Jesus Christ, and he just laughed at it.
Yeah,
and that used to make it all right.
Me and PJ used to do that when me and PJ were closer, and the best way to get over a gig is to say like this,
yeah,
and then to laugh directly in your face,
exactly,
and it dissipates.
Yeah,
how many series of Savage Eye were you in?
Two, maybe.
Yeah.
Bits of two.
And why were you only in two? What happened?
Well, I guess some sort of animosity had developed between us.
Well, I kind of...
Well, I was only in one.
Hang on a second. I know. Go on, Hannah.
Between us.
Okay, let Hannah talk.
No, but I was just saying that you better off, because I was only makeup artist for one series, because animosity is...
And that's why we're not together.
Well, we don't need to go to the details.
Oh no, but I mean, you've opened up the can of worms.
No,
so obviously,
just,
no. I mean,
let's talk about James.
Yeah, but Hannah, there was
but
one.
But there wasn't only one.
There was a litany.
An accumulative
effect.
And behavior and lack
a clitoris
of respect.
A clitoris of
and
problems.
And the woman coming to the house and banging of the door and screaming in the middle of the night, saying, "You promise me that you leave her."
What's
that?
I think we'll take a break there.
So
we'll be right back. Hannah's referring to. Oh Christ! I feel like you're talking about an affair, and the boys are aware. I don't want to traumatize them, but I mean,
I think they are grown up now and they can laugh about it. And
we heard that before. You said that before.
Oh right, yeah. So I was having an affair.
What?
And the girl that I was having an affair with.
It's the holy water.
It was banging on the window, going,
But it was middle of the night.
You told me you'd leave her, and then then Hannah was like, who is that woman? Why is she crying? Why, no, who's that woman? Why is she banging on her door? And why is she going? Or something like that. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
James.
Yeah, where were we?
James, yeah. What happened?
James, no, I was a...
Well, let James say.
I know, I know.
I really remember.
Show on the teddy bear where David told you.
No, James. I was basically hypercritical unnecessarily of you, and I was. I'm trying to word this correctly. I was critical of you, and very unfairly, in hindsight, because. You have a certain set of skills. You have a certain Goldsberry-ness about you that's fucking brilliant. Right, Johnny?
Yes.
Thank you. And I
validate Dave.
was cutting you out of sketches, and you said, rightly, well, fuck this. I'm not going to be just doing a sketch here.
Yeah.
And you should have been, should have, would have, could have, because you were the one of the originals. So I fucked up, and I there you go.
I think that will suffice.
It is not awkward, Johnny.
It's awkward, I know, but it's
Johnny. Can I say Johnny doesn't like awkwardness?
Okay, no. But I must say that you.
John gets on with everybody, fucker.
Yes,
John clearly gets on with everyone.
That's why I was in every series.
He's a shape shifting bastard.
I know.
Every fucking. He's every in every TV show.
Go home, John Cleary. Go home and be angry.
No, yeah. Well, no, that's what John Cleary. He's very tightly packed, and he's got. I mean, this was
not
him.
Anymore.
But, not anymore. But I always had this idea where John, he's just ready to blow at any moment, and so he just drives out and just, you know, looks at a tree.
That's
just,
right.
For about 2 hours, and calms down. But now, you don't have that. Because you've been in a long term relationship.
Yeah, long term.
And so, how long have you been going out with your wife?
5 years. Next
month. 5 years? Only five? I thought it was a lot longer.
That's success. 5 years. That's a nice.
Is it only 5 years? I would have thought it was like 15 years.
No. Listen. Can I just say there was the other day John came here and I was here and we were talking about James. Sorry to say, in front of him, and I said. You didn't like James.
Who said that?
I said it to you.
Huh?
Because you cut him out of Savage Eye.
Sorry, Hannah, what are you talking about? You were talking to John.
No, we were three of us. And I said...
Who was three of us?
John, yourself, and myself.
When was this?
It was just like a few weeks ago.
It was...
And then...
Where was
Drogheda?
Just in Drogheda. And I said you didn't like James. And then you said... You said, I'm sorry about this because I wasn't right. So there was, you know.
Yeah.
When were we talking about that?
Well, we were three of us.
But in the funnier parts of...
No, what Hannah was just saying is that David...
I was just saying that you regretted. Yeah. Are you just... Why are you all this defensive? Just like, listen to it. Just don't take...
No, I regret it because James is as good as... We're equally... Or, you know, we've got our talents. And, you know, it maybe the green light or that it went to my head. I lost the run of myself in certain regards, and that was one of them. Sorry,
no, I'm just
sorry.
Taking
hey, listen,
your side.
I'm okay with it, Dave. I don't.
No, yeah, well.
What I'm saying
no,
is that
you're not.
You said that you're regretting that, and that was a nice thing because a lot of times you just cut people off and then say, "Well, that's it," you know.
Okay.
But I mean, it's not a big
John,
deal.
Shut
it,
the
hap-
fuck
it happens.
Up.
I know.
It happens
when you're,
in
when
life.
You're in
yeah.
an endeavor. And like,
yeah. But it was
you know,
funny the way you used to do James impersonations. I did them too, but
what was that?
James did them. James, somebody said once, I think
I just
he said.
Never fucking got this. Go on.
But he
go on.
Said once that he couldn't do.
He
couldn't impersonate himself as well as we could. But you used to do this thing where.
Where are we going to find an island or something?
Well, that was one thing he did say.
What did he say?
That's right.
It was to do with the property episode where the character was a Robinson Crusoe character.
Oh, yeah.
Who moves into a house. Completely suited and booted, brand new house in was Adamstown we went to. And it was like.
Oh, yeah.
His ghost ended up he being the only person living there. And he ended up like Robinson Crusoe, wandering around the estate in rags, long beard, looking for people. And then we decided then that this fella should go the opposite way to Robinson Crusoe and end up in, you know, liberated and live on an island as a liberation.
Mm.
as a liberation. And we said this to James in a conference speaker form.
In a writer's
James,
meeting.
And you were going, so James, listen, he's going to live on an island, the guy. And James went, yeah, that's all very well, Dave, but where are we going to get an island before Monday?
Did you not think that's a good impression of you? It's horrible to hear yourself being impersonated.
I know you can't hear it. Can't hear it themselves.
The funny thing is, when you hear yourself back recorded, then you sound the way you sound. But when you're speaking, you don't sound the way you sound to other people because of bones in your
mouth. Are you riding anyone?
No. I was going out with a German girl till last year.
For how long?
4 years.
Oh, right. Everybody's going out for four years.
Yeah.
But you used to say it with James, and this has just been playful. You used to go, yeah, Goldsbury going to the shop to buy shoes. Do you remember that?
Or shoes.
You used to go, you say, hey, Goldsbury goes into a shop, and hey, sir, can I help you? And you go, shoes.
you used to pick on James.
Yeah.
No, but you latch on to things. That came out, we were doing the writer's room stuff in the international one day, and I had like...
Oh, sorry, the writer's room in the international, this is before the Savage Hour.
Even before Head Records.
Before Head Records. Oh, yeah, we had big meetings. Yeah, yeah. Actually, we were quite smart,
good,
really. You know, because if you look at any decent sketch show, there's always tons of fucking writers. There was more, it seemed to be a little bit more camaraderie, or maybe there still is camaraderie. Everybody breaks off into little cliques. Anyway, sorry. Yeah.
But I was wearing black shoes, and you just... Hey, Goldsby, where are you? Black shoes. And then that was it. You're on. It's fucking shoes.
Shoes forever.
It's shoes. Shoes forever.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you say that, James, because almost every fucking writer's meeting during the Savage Eye, to get the circulation, the comedy circulation going, we'd sit there and we'd do impressions of certain comedians.
Oh, yeah.
Well, obviously, we're not going to say who they are. But, and then... We'd build up that sort of our blood would get up, and then we'd start trying to write the sketches.
Yeah.
But sketch writing, people think it's all a big laugh, but it's a lot of...
It's the opposite of that.
Well, you know, you're really trying to get to, you know, for a sketch to succeed on TV, first of all, even if it's tried and tested in front of an audience, that's one thing. But then, where do you put the cameras? How is it? There's lots of things that can fuck it up. Yeah. What do you reckon were the most successful sketches? James had a really good sketch.
Desynchronization.
Yeah, the oral desynchronization. So basically it was a guy who, when he talked, his voice went out of sync with himself.
Yeah.
Which is a very nice idea.
Was it for Head Wrecker?
No, but it was great.
I remember that
it wasn't.
I think it was Head Wrecker.
I think so.
I remember you were having
that sketch.
A chat with Keith about that, because
he didn't like it.
It was too brightly lit, and you were giving out saying, "Yeah, it's too brightly lit," and you were having a go.
Oh yeah, I was freaking out about all the wrong things, but that was a magic idea, and it would stand the test of time, because there would be a phrase that Damien O'Donnell and Kieran Walsh, there'd be a lot of in that.
Sublimation.
No. There's a lot of stuff that you could fuck around with.
Steve,
it's good. A lot of comedy business.
Oh, business.
In the oral desynchronization. So you're having a conversation,
Steve Coogan actually can do that for real. He as a Mexican bandit, he goes. You're talking about.
I know that's an old one though, isn't it? Overdubbing. How are you doing, my friend?
he does it well. He can do it in. Yeah. Real time.
He does that well.
Classic.
Yes.
So
I remember you had a really big studio on Capel Street.
Yeah.
Where you used to meet like a big table.
Oh yeah.
They were always like what?
Yeah, I paid €1,200 for that table. Yeah, no, we had a big office on the top of this solicitor's office.
Mm.
And
what's his name?
Peter Keatings. Jesus. So what would you, what do you think were the most successful sketches, or in terms of do you think
successful
or funniest, do you think
it's hard to say, because it keeps that series keeps moving with generations and kids are watching, and they're watching particular ones now that weren't being watched 10 years ago.
Mm.
So, but I think your idea is always
The Njardi one. Njardi,
yeah.
People say Njardi and they don't know where it's from.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
It's in the
yeah. lexicon.
That's it.
The one, you remember the Head Records one we did about the two guys, their eyes lock and hello.
Oh, gay moments.
Accidental gay
remember
moments.
We were caught what happened in the lift when we were filming that?
No.
Myself and yourself were doing that gay moments thing.
Yeah.
And it's where my finger touches.
Yeah, yeah,
your
right,
finger.
Right, right, right.
Remember we said, hey, Dave, you know what would be a great idea? We'll go up to the top floor and drop our trousers and come back down to where the
yeah.
cameras are and the doors will open.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, we came down to the wrong floor with two of us with our around our ankles
and there was
in
some...
a lift. And it was the wrong, it was the girls getting in to go.
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ, almighty, hey. We were there with our trousers around our ankles in the lift.
And we were saying, no, we're shooting a sketch show. Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
So, Johnny, yeah, you're still playing in, what's that place? The Laughter Lounge.
Yes.
You like it. You get on with everybody. What's that about?
Careful now, John.
It's well, how come you get on with the change?
But you do see you get on with everyone, John.
I suppose
there's
a fear of conflict and a fear of falling out and not being approved of.
Maybe it's ability to go along with everyone.
Maybe
interpersonal social skills.
Yeah,
for peace.
Like a peacemaker.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. But certainly, if it wasn't for John, I don't think we would have done the Savage Eye.
Well,
thank you, John.
Thank you. And let's the people. It's the only and like being real about it out there. Gigs, goo gigs. I did a tour last year. I did gigs all over the place and meet a lot of people, and they all like want to. What's the Savage Eye?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you want to do the Savage Eye again?
Yeah, yeah. So there was some good definite moments that connected with the consciousness.
Do you guys ever think about doing sketch show something like that again? You know,
I do. I think about that a lot. I don't do anything about
it. Yeah.
I think there's a big gap in Ireland because there's nothing good like comedy wise coming out.
Well, I see that guy with the Garen Music or something. You know, how does he? I talk like that, and anyway, it's very funny. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff out there.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good new. I mean, that's the amazing thing. I wonder if social media was around when we were younger. Yeah.
Would we have even bothered to go the TV route?
Well,
because most people like RTE don't have money for sketches anymore. So.
Well, I see this kid, Vittorio Angeloni.
Oh yeah,
he's selling multiple nights out now in Leicester Square Theatre.
Really?
Only started off 2019, but this is the incredible thing about this social media. It is so revolutionary, whereby. There's a route now that's completely outside. I've said this so many times. Outside of TV stations.
Yeah, people complaining they should wax lyrics of that song of yours.
Huh?
That you
said the same thing over and over. That's what
Hannah said. Yeah.
Wax lyrics.
Yeah. Wax lyrical? Is that
wax
what
lyrical?
Is that what does wax lyrical mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody said it, but that's what it means.
Okay.
I'm just going to read the comment. You know, it was in the comments that, you know, you said it like every time.
Okay, sorry. Fucking hell. So are you gigging Goldsberry?
I was, and then I'm kind of struggling again.
Struggling
moment.
In what way? To be into it or to bother?
No, I'm still into it. I had a bit of a run of put on my own show in Whelan's. James Goldsberry's Jugging with a Bag of Dog Shite.
What is it? Jugging with a Bag of Dog Shite.
That's what I called the show, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And that was great. It was great crack. So, I just...
Thinking of going to Edinburgh?
No, not a chance. I've done it plenty of times. It's a head fuck.
Well, is it a... What's head fuck about Edinburgh?
Getting crowds in, flyering. Oh, yeah. It's a murder hole.
Have you done Edinburgh?
Not for a month. I did it 10 days, 2 weeks, a couple of times.
Yeah.
Free fringe thing.
Yeah.
Which was okay.
And you're doing quite well now, sir. Are you playing in Liberty Hall?
I did Liberty Hall last year.
Oh, for the first time?
I did three nights there. And
John is doing three Olympia.
I'm doing one gig at the Three Olympia in September.
So what was it like doing the Liberty Hall?
I really enjoyed that. That was like...
Was that your biggest gig so far?
I guess it was for me But as a solo act, yeah, I guess it was, yeah.
So were you shitting it?
400 people.
Or were you just really looking forward to it?
I was just looking forward to it because it was in the middle of a whole tour of the Ireland. So it was like 2 or 3 weeks into it. So I was on a bit of a run. And it was just another... But it was really good. Pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, very exciting.
Yeah, it was good. And three nights in there as well, which was kind of cool because first night was all a bit... second night was...
So I don't know if we can talk about this. Are you doing well? Obviously, you're doing Three Olympia with MCD.
Yeah.
And how did you? I don't know if we can talk about
just
this.
Just why you want to go into details, payment?
Well, no,
this?
Not going into payment. I just say that Olympia, Three Olympia.
Yeah.
Is a much better, I feel.
You're waxing lyrical again.
You know, David, you said it so many times.
Well, no, because, you know, the audience is there, the audience is there.
I know, but like, you're repeating yourself, sorry.
That's fucking amazing, Three Olympia.
Yeah.
When are you performing?
15th of September.
Okay.
Sunday night, the 15th of September.
Yeah.
Tickets from Ticketmaster. Daddy!
Yeah.
And do we know?
So if you haven't seen John Cleary, you know, do yourself a favor. It's magic. Oh yeah, who's doing support?
Don't know.
Oh, hello, James.
No,
don't know yet.
Don't even go there.
we'll see.
Maybe you should be politically correct and get a woman and lesbian and maybe transgender. Oh my God,
I think I should. Yeah.
And also, I think maybe it is a time to put your head together and create something better than you
and
did before.
I would say Johnny as well,
you know, and just put it, instead of repeating yourself, start writing down and creating something really good.
Well actually, my point is, actually, that's the amazing thing about social media, because I sell more tickets now than I did even at the height of the Savage
Eye. You suffer from dementia.
But I'm just trying to tell you, that's what I was talking about, these younger comedians. Like, in terms of, like, why do you do... It's great to do something successful on TV. But ultimately...
Them.
You wanted to transpose into fucking ticket sales so you can tour and actually make a living.
Exactly.
But
you
social media,
put
social media
own...
is it makes
Serious.
That possible more so than having a successful TV show.
But do you not do the shows as well as like an artistic thing where you enjoy actually? Like,
yeah.
Or is it all just and means to?
Yeah, but
sell
it's
tickets?
the desperation
but
isn't
you,
as you're not you, as
are
desperate.
Are you doing the show to do a good show, or are you doing it to get bigger and sell more tickets? Like, you guys, because you're saying all about selling more tickets, but like, do you not have a desire to make a project?
Well, sorry, obviously we all have artistic needs that we want to meet, and it's just having a place, a repository to ejaculate these ideas into, and so... social media, Instagram.
Yeah, but I mean,
so you can do.
I mean,
you get an idea. You can make a sketch.
But yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
obviously, you're not doing it specifically for that reason. But a side effect of it being good, whatever you're creating, is that people want to come and see you.
But an Instagram sketch isn't the same as.
But there is something interesting about all of that at the moment, in that the way we went, and it's not that long ago. It sounds like forever ago, but it's only 15 years ago, where this social media platform didn't exist the way it exists now. You had to sort of construct things in a certain way and sell them to somebody who might sell them to somebody else and make
editors.
Thing. You know, commission to get the thing commissioned and get it made based on a very formal, what looks now like a very formal way of doing stuff, like letter writing compared to sending a text or something. And now there's a thing that I've noticed with Instagram that, like what you're talking about, young people, young heads getting like huge traction and huge ticket sales. There's almost an area in between like filming a cup and going, a cup, or filming, making something really well cut and well put together. There's a bit of a rejection of that on social media, going, that's a bit too polished. We want something where it's almost, the medium is almost the message. The comedy bit is like, maybe that it's slapdash or that it's 30 seconds long as opposed to a minute and a half of something. It's kind of a weird space that we're in.
Yeah, but I mean, I
know what you're saying.
I see those, you know, and it is funny. Like, you see some sketches on Instagram, and they do make you laugh and everything. But it's not the same as watching like a really funny show, like some of the sketches on Savage Eye, yeah. And you know, it all links together and it's got a story through it.
Well, it's all short form as well on so Instagram, short, like 60 yeah. seconds, because yeah, people yeah. just don't have the attention span to.
Yeah. Well, but you're talking about actually. Yeah, but I
think you don't need to do it for television. Like, you can put stuff up on YouTube. I mean, I remember I was watching this thing a few years ago, this American guys, they were putting it up on Facebook, and it was a stupid show, but it was very funny, the first series. They were doing, like, it's called The Real Bros of Simi Valley. And right. It was, like, these kind of, like dudes living in California, and they, like, you know, like, really rich, but they don't do anything with their lives and everything. But they put it up on Facebook, like, 20-minute videos. And very funny, and then they get picked up and by certain people and make a lot of money. But I think because there is a lot of freedom, people, I actually think people think that there's a lot of freedom on Instagram, but people are very aware of the algorithm, and they tailor their content to channel it. So yeah. It's kind of the same thing in a way as the last thing, but just in a different way.
Yeah, I know, but it's just the thing is though. The way I maybe I've said this one before as well. Imagine being a painter and you have a paintbrush in your hand and you have a canvas and you dip the paint and you're waiting for permission to paint. That's what it was like before social media.
Yeah.
Now you can
but I've say,
come
I've,
up
I've
with say, an idea, wait, record wait. A sketch, yeah, yeah. Put it online and get three people to watch it. But it satisfies
me. But you can paint whatever picture you want, right? But you're only using a certain amount of paintbrushes because you're wanting to, you know, you're not maybe being as creative as you could be because you want to create certain content, you know?
Yeah, I've lost, I've lost the plot.
But you could
do I've lost the plot now. So, John, you're going to be playing in 3 Olympia in September. That's going to be very exciting. And the thing that I don't like, and like you were saying, doing three nights in a place, you can kind of build up a moment. John, could you pay attention to me?
I know. I'm just having to text.
John, I'm trying to talk to you, John.
I'm trying to remember the registration of the car.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's it. Will you be on tour at that time?
Yeah,
September?
I'm going
to. So if you have a run of gigs before. Because
there's only one before it, actually.
Well, I do. I do like about, like, get it. Do the Crackdown for five nights or something, just to build that. Are you the same as me? Because if I stop doing comedy for a week, I get very existential. I get like, you know,
yeah.
I need to be doing it all the time.
Same.
Yeah.
And I actually, when I stop doing it for a week, I realize how unfunny I am.
Yeah.
I go, God, I'm a serious bollocks. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm just going, I don't want to do anything.
We're like sharks, you know. Yeah. If you stop moving,
you just sink.
You just sink. And so, you know. Like, so when you hit that stage,
you have to start going.
You want to be dreaming. You don't want
to
be thinking.
You have to be in motion all the time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just.
And does it?
I think
that'll be the biggest gig you've done so far as a solo act.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the thing I love about, and I was really afraid of this last year, going, oh, got to do this tour and I got to have an hour and I got to be blah, blah, blah. And then when I started doing it, I started having a lot of fun with it. Because of the fact that when you're used to doing 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 40 minutes even in some places, that's a sort of a set thing. Whereas this thing was like 20 minutes, 25 minutes, half an hour. And then there was this little pit in the middle where you could start shiting about.
Mm.
You had this area where you could make things happen.
Right.
And then use them again the next night.
Yeah, fucking
around. Bit of space. The first half an hour gave you the permission or something to go off and have this 5-minute wander.
Improvise.
Well, what do you mean you don't get it?
I want that.
That's just
I want the 5-minute wandering.
You have, you
I
have,
never
you
come up with that one.
What did you want?
I didn't.
What does Dave want?
But
most
I think
of
that just comes
5 minutes.
5 minutes of wandering.
That just comes from the confidence of
yes,
being on stage.
I guess so.
If you weren't gigging at all and you had your hour set up,
yeah.
Or if you weren't gigging much, you'd think, oh, Jesus Christ, I better stick to this hour. You wouldn't waffle off. You go, oh, Jesus, I better stick.
Ended up in one.
Yeah.
120.
Yeah, because you'll do a waffly bit because you have
then.
The confidence to waffle.
No matter what happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I like having a support now, doing 20 minutes and then doing an hour. I just like doing an hour. Just do the hour. Boom, 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 hopefully.
And are you going to write a brand new show for your
Well, no, I can't fucking write. I just sort of...
Well, I think you have to just
Well, no,
make
I write out cards, you know, ideas, and then... By doing them, doing a run of them night after night after night after night. Connections start to happen
and it starts to come off.
You know, it's like a game, you know. There was just something here. Oh, yeah. Well, no, actually, it doesn't matter about the idea. No. So you have one idea. It's like playing patience. You know, a game of solitaire where one idea and then that runs into the next and then that runs into the next and then that runs into the next one and then it folds back and then it sparks, you know. But if it has a lovely, natural, organic flow. But what happens with me then is, you know, I'll... And then I'll be like this, look. Oh, shit. And then and then this big opening of nothingness, void.
Yeah, like,
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then you can see the audience. And then you look at the audience like...
Come on.
They're looking at you and you're going, oh, Jesus Christ. And then you go, old jokes.
Old jokes.
And then Hannah's going... They're old jokes.
That's why
you need to do the pigeon bit.
That one. What you need to do: write those ideas on the piece of paper. Just glue them together.
It doesn't matter when you're in a void, and then you look at something like torture 1582. Huh?
Yeah.
No, I did this thing on stage last night because I was watching Guy Fawkes' documentary. You know how they, you know, punishment now, you go to prison.
Yeah.
Punishment then.
Oh, they were animals.
Right. The hung, drawn, and quartered. Do you know what that means, drawn?
Yeah, drawn. Just push.
No, what's drawn?
Drawn like stretched?
No, this is nice.
Pulled apart.
So you're there like that, and they just wind it up, and you're just going, oh, fuck! And you're dislocating and all this.
And
then you're hung up a bit, not completely. They hang you a bit and they open up.
And they keep you alive. I'm not making this up.
And I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, if you're squeamish, don't listen to this. Then they open you up and sort of pull out your intestines.
Yeah.
You know, and you can imagine like people going, ah, here. No, there's no pleading.
Oh.
This is going to go on.
I think this is happening right now.
Can I finish me point, love?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I love Hannah and respect her very much. Right, so this is 1580. This is what I said last night in the Purdy Kitchen. And then I'm thinking, God, we've changed. And then I said, well, no, we haven't, because I saw the Russian police, what they did to these terrorists, which the worst thing ever. The terrorists obviously did terrible stuff. But then the police cut off one of their ears
and made him eat it.
So, I mean...
Deserved it.
Okay. My point is, though, I'm on stage saying this fucking unfulfilled, realized thing. I don't know where I'm at. And they're just like, oh, like, where are you going with this? I don't know. I shouldn't be talking about this. And look at Hannah. Look.
Bastard.
It's just like half baked. She's joked.
Hannah is referring to a review I got in 1994,
half baked.
96 in Edinburgh.
What did she say?
She said, you lose sympathy for a comedian when he blames the audience as opposed to his own half baked material. This is 1996.
That's where you go. Like, you were flying. That's
96. That's 30, that's, 40 years that, ago.
That's actually true in a way. Like, you cannot go on stage in a big audience and try half-baked jokes. That's why reading you have
a,
small...
Reading a bad review is one of the worst things in the world. I remember in my first Edinburgh show,
which was a great show.
Was that Ickbin product, was it?
I thought that was great.
I was reading a review on Charles, because nobody had phones. I was reading a review of the...
It was in an internet cafe,
and it was, this is the worst show I've ever seen. That's not me saying this is the worst show. That's the review. And it was like being fucking beaten up.
Yeah.
And it's probably still there on the interweb. It's, oh, Jesus.
Where does the fascination with Germany come from, James?
Yeah. Well, it's a very good question.
Well, when we were growing
James
up...
James Goldsberry, like your surname?
No, well, that's Old English.
Is it?
Yes, I'll have your name.
It's funny, when somebody gives you a bad review like that...
Is it Jewish as well?
No.
It's funny, when somebody gives you a really bad review like that, you do feel like going up to them and going, the fuck? You know, like you want to... grab them by the scruff of their neck, going,
yeah,
fuck you. Like, obviously, you can't do that, but I'm just saying,
I got younger. A bad review for an event, like a dinner we did, and they were listing out all the bad things, you know, and you just look and you're like, oh shit.
Can I just say, I'm mindful. Can I just say, thank. We won't be doing Open the Cage or Conspiracy Corner.
What's Conspiracy Corner?
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Because I have to get ready. Yeah. John Cleary, 3 Olympia. What date in September?
September 15th.
Amazing. We're all going to be there cheering you on.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I just want to say, because we have to start saying, if you like the show, subscribe, like, comment. Just help the algorithm
and also,
to work in our favor. Okay, and if you have an idea, just write.
Fade the music down.
You know, DM to David. Personal suggestion about thumbnails.
Thumbnails. And nobody knows what a thumbnail
well,
is.
Well, there's a lot of
look.
Comments.
Thumbnails.
Listen,
look.
There's a lot of comments about
you,
that.
You have to figure out a way to communicate. I would just also like to say,
you know, maybe
aren't we
your
very
shows will be better if you figure how to communicate.
But aren't we very lucky, John, that we are able now at this time in your career to sell these?
Yeah.
Because it could quite as easily.
Have been so very, very
well. I mean,
different.
It's not. We're you know. I'm just so. We're very grateful. Thank you. And you have to see James Goldsberry.
Absolutely.
Well, wherever. Yeah.
Where are you?
I have no fucking idea, Dave.
Okay, so
he'll be in the new series of The Savage Eye, which is coming out in 2026.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, go on. You can do the music now. Thank you, my princes, Jack and Daniel. Someday this kingdom will be yours. Thank you very much, John Cleary, James Goldsberry,
Jack
Hannah
and
Andrews. Thumbnails!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.